is the Lord. Jesus is Lord of all, and one day he will rule in righteousness and for 1,000 years of peace.
Amen.
Let's turn back to tonight to the book of Matthew chapter 6. I want to do part two of this, the praying Jesus. And we do have a praying Jesus. Amen. Praise God. And he doesn't need to pray in the sense that he's God, but we need him to be our intercessor and to be our high priest. He's the one mediator between God and man. Praise the Lord. And before we read our scripture in Matthew, let me just give you a scripture here in Hebrews 4:14. I'll get back to Matthew in just a minute, okay? It says, seeing we have a high priest who has passed to the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was tempted in all points as we are, but yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now that shows a position that Christ has. He is our high priest. He's the one mediator between God and man. Whereas in the Old Testament, there was a priest that stood between God and man, and an earthly priest that was imperfect, not completely pure, but Jesus is completely, completely perfect and completely pure, completely holy. And amen, he stands as our mediator. Praise God. And so let's notice, so when we pray, we have a high priest who knows all, everything. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. It doesn't mean that he says you can just do anything, but he says he understands us. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. It says there, the second part of the Lord's Prayer. Incidentally, before we had our Bible, before the Bible was completely completed, where we had all the testaments and everything, the early church for a long time didn't have much more than the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments. That's about it for a while. That's about all the Bible they had. But there's enough there to live right. Praise God. But we got the full canon of Scripture now, 66 books, 1,189 chapters, if you're interested. Should be. But let's notice 6 and 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Father, thank you for your word tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless, encourage, and strengthen the hearts of each one tonight, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The praying Jesus. I'm glad that we have a high priest who understands us. And God understands us better than anybody. He is the creator. Amen. He created the ends of the earth. He spoke the world into existence. Praise the Lord. And so he knows us. He knows everything about us. He knows you better than you know yourself. And if you just don't like to run across somebody that knows everything about you, I'm sorry. God knows everything about you. Amen. You can't hide anything from him. But he loves us and cares for us. And he wants to help us along this road of life. So when we're praying, we need to pray. In verse 11 there, one request is, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And we say, well, that's not much of a prayer. Well, yes, really it is. It acknowledges our total dependence upon God. What we have, God has allowed us to have, and God has given. And the children of Israel, they learned daily dependence upon God. They learned daily dependence on manna from heaven and water from the rock. And they wandered 40 years in the wilderness, and God never failed to give them bread from heaven and water from the rock every day. Even though they whined, griped, and complained like we do sometimes, you think, well, why didn't God just stop if he got angry at them? Well, God is faithful, and he's very faithful to us. And you and I, even though we're not in the wilderness as Israel was, yet we're saved, justified, and walk by faith, and we're upheld by the grace of God. And people say, well, I'm strong and I'm powerful, I'm a good Christian, and I know what I'm doing, and I can stand here in my own strength. But let me tell you something, we are not standing because we're strong, we're upheld by God. And it says in the book of Jude, verse 24, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, because we're upheld by him, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to him, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And let me just go a little further on that, that we're upheld by God's grace. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, reserved for heaven in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're kept by God. We're upheld by God. God's grace is very powerful, very wonderful. And he holds us and he sustains us. And so when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we realize as we partake by faith of him, it is our spiritual strength. It is, we're partaking of him by faith. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in one place, he said, I am the bread of life. He said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they're dead. But if you partake of me, meaning by faith, you'll never die. Praise God. We're sustained by spiritually partaking of Christ. Just as Israel daily depended on God for food and water, so we depend upon God to supply our needs day by day. By scripture and by worship is the way we do this. We feed our mind on the truth so that when a lie comes along, we'll know it immediately because it's not the truth. Praise God. And they tell me that people that study counterfeit money, that they just study the real thing, and so that when a counterfeit comes along, they're so familiar with the real thing, they immediately recognize when it's not the truth, when it's a counterfeit. And so we should fill our lives with the Word of God in that way. Sorry, can't help it. Deuteronomy 8 and 3, so he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor you did your fathers, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so we're sustained and upheld by God's word. Amen. Just as God spoke the worlds into existence, and just as the planets rotate just the way that God made them, they do that because God's word put them in motion and like that. Amen. And so God has control of everything. And also to acknowledge God as our daily bread, it teaches us also compassion for the poor. It teaches us to pray for our families. And we need to pray for God's provision for all of our needs and believe him for provision for all of our needs. We could have a testimony service right now of all the times that God has supplied your need. Praise God, because he has. We're upheld by his wonderful grace. Praise the Lord. And then Jesus moves on here and says, verse 12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgiveness is such a major theme of Scripture. And it's why is forgiveness mentioned so many times in the Bible? It reminds us that God has forgiven of us for so much and so many times. There may be people that say, well, I haven't sinned very often in my life. Well, if you say that, you just got through, because your lines are sin too. And so we need God, praise the Lord, to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgiveness is often brought up in Scripture. And this reminds us what God has forgiven us of, how many times he's forgiven us, so much he's forgiven us. So many times he's listened to us, so many times that we failed God, but he hadn't abandoned us. He still loves us. He still cares. That doesn't give you a license to sin all the flesh wants to. No, it doesn't do that. But God did provide forgiveness for humanity. And forgiveness came at a great price. It came with the shedding of Christ's blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Hebrews 9:22 tells us that. And so as we pray in our daily prayer life, we should search our heart and confess any known sins and anything the Holy Spirit brings up to this that we need to change. Just acknowledge it and say, okay, God, forgive me of that and help me, Lord, to overcome it. And just trust the work, his work the cross provided for us. Praise God. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and his truth is not in us. I'm glad there's verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. What if we don't confess our sins? Let me tell you something, friend. We stand responsible if God brings something to our heart to confess and say you need to get rid of it. If we say, well, it's not that bad. No, if you make excuse for it, you're wrong. If God brings it to your mind, amen, ask his forgiveness. He offers it. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The scripture that's always stuck out to me, and that is in 1 Corinthians 8:46, and it's said a couple of times during scripture. And this is Solomon's prayer to God right before the building of the temple. And Solomon prayed to God and said, God, when they sin against you, and then in parentheses says, for there is no man who does not sin, or no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them to deliver them to their enemies. For there is no one who does not sin. And that does not mean that, well, everybody sins. And I've heard this excuse used, well, everybody sins anyway, so it won't hurt anything. Well, that's not what it's saying. But many people would take that, well, we all sin anyway, so it doesn't matter how much we sin. Well, yes, it does. God came here to remove sin from your life, not to pet you and make you comfortable with sin. Because God hates sin. He doesn't want it to be a part of his children's life. He wants us to forsake and confess, and he wants us to get rid of it. Amen. And so we can have fellowship with him, because there's no fellowship with God if there's sin in the way. And pray that also not only accept God's forgiveness, but pray that you and I will extend forgiveness as God has to you and I. Amen. And when we bow up and say, well, it's going to take me a long time to get over that one if somebody's done you wrong. But you expect God to forgive you immediately when you sin. Amen. But this is difficult when we remember, unless we remember forgiveness that God extends to us. The forgiveness Jesus prayed for those who crucified him. It's hard for me to imagine when somebody's cursing and driving nails in your feet and your hands and torturing you and hanging you on a cross that God, that Jesus would say, would pray for them, Father, forgive. Amen. That's a love that's beyond humanity. It's a divine love. And so forgiveness is something that's from God. As a matter of fact, there's a strong verse here in verses 14 and 15. Not a part of the Lord's Prayer, but still the words of Jesus. And it says, if you forgive men their trespasses, God will forgive you. And if you don't forgive, then God won't forgive you either. That's pretty strong. And you just say, well, some people are just hard to forgive. Well, you and I have been hard to forgive a lot of times too. Amen. There's some things that people would just rather not forgive us of. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So part of our daily prayer was, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Give us the strength to forgive and to extend what we've received, and that is forgiveness. And in the Lord's Prayer, moving on here, it tells us, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Verse 13. It's not that God might lead us into temptation. He doesn't. And in the book of James, it tells us God cannot be tempted tempted with evil, and neither does he tempt any man, but man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and lust, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is complete, full grown, gives birth to death. Okay? So, Jesus says here, just to pray that God will deliver you from the evil one. It's the devil. And we need to pray that God will give us power over temptations, for power to stay away from people's places and things that cause you to easily stumble. And only God can give you the power to say no. It may not be some notable sin that we always think of as sin, but it may be something small and only you and God know about. But let me tell you something. Our life is an open book. It's a blank page to God. He sees everything. And he's not looking for a chance to knock you out of the way. God is looking to make a relationship with you, and he wants to make a relationship with you and give you power over temptations to stand up and say no to things that aren't pleasing to him. And only God can give us the power to say no. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, it says, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. God will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape." Our part in that is when God provides a way of escape for us to take the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. And 2 Peter 2 and 9 says, "Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the punishment unto the day of judgment." Deliver us from the evil one. And then the scripture here, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." That's a wonderful verse. Praise the Lord. "For yours, O Lord, is the kingdom, power, and glory forever." We declare these words in our belief that the kingdom of this world are rightfully the property of our Father, that to him alone belongs all power. There's coming a day during an announcement during the tribulation period under this seventh trumpet, angel sounds. There were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever." And so there's coming that day. God has authority right now. Amen. And he made the devil, kicked the devil out, and made place for his kingdom to rule here in this world, and his kingdom to rule in my heart and yours. And God wants to sit up on the throne of my heart, your heart. "For thine is the kingdom." Not only is his is the kingdom, his is the power. The power to speak worlds into existence, power to heal, power to deliver, power to give hope to humanity. When we pray to God, let's just believe that God has all the power. All we have to do is look at the Bible and look what he's done for you personally. We know that God has all power. Why are we worried? Why are we fretting about things when God has all power? That's who we serve. He's got power to change people's lives, to set people free. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, it's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new." And so we know that God had the power to change my life, to change yours, to set us on the road to heaven instead of on the road to hell. Amen. And he deserves alone all the power of a power, and he deserves the glory. "Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever." My friend, there will be a day when we won't want to do anything except acknowledge and worship the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, who made us heaven acceptable. And we conclude our prayer offering him the profession of our hearts, that we give him all praise, all glory, and all honor, and rejoice that he's King of kings and the Lord of lords. In the end, the earth that we live in will become a place filled with the glorious presence of the Lord. When Jesus returns at his second coming, wipes out the Antichrist and his armies, the Bible says in Habakkuk 2:14, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That means completely the righteousness of God and the ruling of the kingdom of God. Amen. This same Jesus that was taken up before the disciples entered into heaven, that same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. He'll come back, set his feet on the Mount of Olives. He'll destroy the armies of the Antichrist, and he'll be King of kings, Lord of Lords, we won't take a vote. Congress won't be meeting to try to figure Christ out. Amen. They're not going to figure him out anyway. Praise the Lord. They can't figure anything else out. Very good. But his is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. We serve a wonderful Savior. Amen. So when you pray, just believe God's in charge, that he's over all. Amen. And we serve a wonderful God. Let's just realize that we have a praying Jesus, a praying Savior. And he's does that to make us, wants us to be people of prayer. And so let's just be victorious, because God has already done all that needs to be done for us to live a victorious, overcoming life. God loves you tonight. God cares. God's concerned about whatever you go through. He's not going to quit caring. He's not going to quit loving. Amen. You belong to him, Lord. You belong to him. You're his children. We are the people of God. We don't boast in that, but we look with grace and say, thank you, God, for letting me be your kingdom, your child. The Bible says our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're worried about this, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? Praise the Lord. God's going to give us a glorified body, amen, that'll never age, that'll never die, that'll never be sick, that'll never be lonely. I can tell you, God's got the greatest thing ahead for the child of God. Amen. I'm not going to apologize for getting excited about it. I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. We're on our way to eternity with a loving God, a living God, a powerful God, a mighty God. Just rejoice, because God loves you. God cares. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Praise God. Amen.